Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 2, Message 2, Prayer. Scripture reading, John 15, 16, 14, 13 through 14, Isaiah 45, 11, Matthew 12, 29, Acts 1, 14, and 4:31.
Well, this morning, Brother Rick and I would just like to continue the second morning line on the gospel. So you can turn there in your binders. Don't you think it's quite impressive that the line on the gospel didn't start with the best words to speak on the gospel? You know, it wasn't a message on what are the best verses to convince atheists, you know, to convince agnostics, to convert Mormons to the faith. But how to begin? Companions. And the essence of the burden was that if the Lord could just gain a vital group of two or three that loved Him and loved one another, then the Lord just loves to add to that.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I really appreciated a prophecy that Phil Smeltzer came up and gave. You know, we believe that that our God is the one that places the members as He wills, right?
Amen.
And He's the one that's blended the body together.
Yeah.
I believe, actually, that many of us know who our companions should be. You know, we might be close to them. They might have been introduced to us. They're our friends. And we're a bit hesitant. They don't seem to be like us. You know, we need to pray that our strong will, our stubborn will would be subdued. We just pray, Lord, You companionize me.
Amen.
Lord, companionize me for the sake of the gospel.
Amen.
And this morning, we'd also like to touch something that comes before the first word is ever spoken to man on the gospel. You know, companions is something before the gospel. And this is prayer. You know, our testimony is so crucial, right? The words that we say, that provides the faith by which others believe. You know, our shining faces is crucial. But what comes first? Actually, Paul spoke in 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort you, therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. First of all, prayer. You know, prayer comes first. And, you know, there's a famous quote from Watchman Nee. I think we all know it. Says, why do we labor so much, you know, work so much, and pray so little, when prayer can accomplish a lot more than our labor? Now, this is applicable to the gospel. We might think, I'm not that eloquent. You know, we work on our words. No, prayer accomplishes much more.
Amen.
And there's another quote. It says, men that are good at leading other men to Christ are good at prayer. Wow. You know, it's not the eloquent ones. It's those that are consistent in prayer that are good to leading other men to Christ. But let me ask you, have you ever considered what is it about prayer that accomplishes so much? What is it that's so special about prayer? What is it about prayer? And so let me say something that might be very obvious because it has to do with a famous memorization verse, 1 Timothy 2:4. Everyone who knows that verse, let's say it together. Our Savior God, that's the first part, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Oh, praise our Savior God.
Amen.
Now, what a Savior God we have. His will is that all men would be saved. We have to believe this. All men would be saved. Come to the full knowledge of the truth. Okay, here's the other obvious statement. It has to do with the enemy's will. Our serpent Satan desires no men to be saved, to be bankrupt concerning the truth, you know, to remain as sons of the devil, captive in his cosmos, right? Brother Dick's message last night, expressing the God of this age, you know, wow, what a contradiction in wills. But here's the impressive part that we may not really realize, is that a third will, man's will, our will, stands directly in between these two wills. And actually, this is amazing, I think, that God Himself, although His will is high, it's grand, It involves the salvation of all men. It involves even the plundering of Satan's house. He can't accomplish a single thing until our will aligns with his will. And so this morning, this is a definition of prayer I want to give you. Genuine spiritual prayer, it's nothing less than the utterance of God's will. We see that God's will, all men be saved. I pray, amen, Lord. You know, save Tony, my friend since high school. He's a Buddhist. Been praying for him for a while. I just agree, Lord, save Tony. Amen. You know, Lord, save Kevin. Amen. Lord, save that classmate. I pray for the seat right next to me in class. I pray, Lord, save the person that sits in my seat in this next lecture. Amen. We just agree with the Lord's will, and we give him the way to move.
Amen.
And I'm just a little convicted, I think probably we all are, at how often I pray for myself, right? Lord, I pray a lot of times, get me out of this prison, right? This last message, get me out of the prison. I'm walking around. My whole prayer life is just filled with the self. This is an opportunity to realize that's not really God's will. I'd rather pray for something that's on God's will and he would have the way to move.
Amen.
And just to back this up, you know, people who have grown up in the church, church kids, probably heard your parents pray something or a saint's pray, Lord, give us men like a flock, right? Add men like a flock. Do you know where that comes from? It comes from Ezekiel 36:37. Let me read it for you. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, moreover for this, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. So the second part is, I will increase them with men like the flock. The first part is, he needs to be inquired of by his house. He's ordained that he would like to add to his house, but he needs to be inquired of. Lord, give us men like a flock.
Amen.
How about we have everyone read Romans 1, and then brothers A, sisters B.
In the preaching of the gospel, we need a speaking of the word of God. But first we have to pray. Much prayer is needed for there to be the power and impact in the preaching of the gospel. Prayer is the foundation to leading men to Christ. Before one opens his mouth before men, he first must open his mouth before God.
Amen. You're a priest and a king.
Amen.
Do you realize that? If not, read those verses there in 1 Peter. It says that he has made us a kingdom of priests,
Amen.
A royal priesthood. Is this your case? You might like to be a king first, right? A king is royal and has authority, but first a priest and then a king. First of all, pray. Actually, in order to go to man with the authority of our king, to go to man as co-kings, we first need to go to God to bring men to God, to bring all our friends, companions to God, get filled up with God, and then go to man with God. And how about, let's read C all together, 1C. You know, yesterday, the brother shared that companionship is not something defensive. The gospel is not something defensive, but it takes an offensive attack on the enemy. And this is not a small matter. You know, don't think that you can just waltz in to any campus, preach John 3:16, everyone will be saved. Actually, the gospel is a warfare. And, you know, sisters, don't be afraid. Brothers, don't be afraid or excited. You know, behind the scenes in the unseen realm, Satan and his evil forces are trying to frustrate the work of the gospel. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers that the gospel of the glory of Christ might not shine on them. No, we go to campus as a king. We're shining forth the face, the glory in the face of Jesus, which has shined into our heart. And guess what? The God of this age has blinded the unbelievers. Do you have that view? That's impressive. And let me read you this verse in Luke 11:21. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own homestead, his possessions are in peace. Do you catch that? You know, the strong man, that's Satan, he's guarding his household. And in there, the unbelievers, the sinners, are his possession. And guess what? They think they're in peace. What a false peace that is. You know, they're not running around chewing on their nails. You know, Fred, save me from this house. Save me from the strong man. But you know what? They should be. Because they think they're in peace. They're actually in this house of the strong man. But you know what? Again, it's not that we're stronger than the strong man. But we have one who is stronger.
Amen.
Lord, bind the strong man.
Amen.
Plunder his house.
Amen.
Lord, bind the strong man at UCLA.
Amen.
Bind the strong man at Santa Ana College.
Amen.
You know, bind the strong man housing my friend Tony. You know, free him. Oh, Lord, you know, prayer, again, gives the way for the Lord to move.
Amen.
And how about let's move on to Romans 2. Let's all read Romans 2.
We are going to be prevailing in the gospel. We need to go to the Lord every day in prayer to get ourselves adjusted, cleansed, enlightened, exposed, and reviewed by the Lord.
Again, yesterday we heard that the gospel is something corporate, right? And I think also the gospel saves me from myself because I can pray for someone besides myself. But there is an individual aspect which is quite crucial. You know, for the power and the impact of our speaking and for the answerability, for the power for God to answer our prayers, actually, a clean conscience is crucial. Let me read you a quick... Let's read A, brothers and sisters B.
Prayer exposes our spiritual condition before the Lord. If our prayers are not answered for a long time, it must mean that you are sick before the Lord and must go to the Lord for light and find out where your problem lies.
Wow, the greatest obstacle to prayer is sin. Quickly, a verse in Isaiah 59:1. No, Jehovah's hand is not so short that it cannot save. No, nor is his ear so heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have become a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, I just pray personally, Lord, this would not be me. You know, to have power before God, what does that mean? It really means that God inclines his ear to hear us. You know, that God, when we pray, answers our prayers. Don't we all want that? To be powerful before God? But we need to deal in a thorough way with our conscience. And just a quick, before Brother Rick speaks, just a quick example. It's a little bit kind of tied to this. And I shared it with some of you before, but it just... it was very striking to me. I was taking a shower at night, as I usually do, and just opening to the Lord a little bit. And he had the way to touch something that I believe had been hidden for years within me. And I don't know, when the Lord comes in, you know, it's not a false kind of confession, but when the Lord is really there in your presence and touches something, you know, that's a sweet matter.
Yeah.
And so... just like the Roman numeral had a way to be enlightened, exposed, rebuked, but adjusted and cleansed.
Right.
You know, we can always take the blood, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and he's righteous to forgive us. And this time I took the blood, but I also just consecrated myself. Lord, I consecrate my soul, I consecrate my body to you.
Amen.
Now the striking thing that took place, of course I was overjoyed and happy, but the striking thing was that spontaneously, I was just led to pray for the gospel. I don't know why. I was led to pray for man. Just opened up, prayed up for the gospel. And I really had the sensation that that prayer was being answered by the Lord.
Amen.
There was just nothing between. No, the hymn, nothing between. No barrier between. That's the greatest blessing, when the Lord hears what you pray. At that moment, this was, albeit a bit strange, it was midnight, but I felt sent by the Lord, get dressed, go preach the gospel.
Amen.
On the streets of UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a wonderful experience, but just the striking thing was, when things are cleared up between you and the Lord,
amen,
He has the way to honor what you pray.
Amen.
And there'll be no sense of hypocrisy. Oh, it's the worst thing to be two-faced, to be on the gospel and to know, oh, I'm not like that. My living doesn't match that. Oh, we just come to the Lord, get cleansed, and He can answer our prayers.
Amen.
How about let's just read C1 and 2 all together.
Amen. Didn't you enjoy our brother sharing?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We really need to be those who take care of our conscience before the Lord. So there's nothing between us and the Lord. So when we go out, we'll have authority in the gospel. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord said in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then He tells us to go. So when we go to preach the gospel, we need to realize we're going with the Lord who has all authority in heaven and earth. And so we're going there not in a poor way. We're not going in a poor way to try to plead with someone to take what we have. No, we're going as ambassadors with the Lord's authority, in fact, all authority in the universe. But if we have a problem with the Lord, how can we go in that way? So we have to take care of our conscience. So first, so that our prayers will not be unhindered. You know, it's interesting, this morning in my reading, I came across a verse I was sharing with Ben earlier, a couple of verses in this line. I'd just like to read it to you. This is, you know, after the Lord came in and judged the children of Israel because of their transgression, and they, you know, they did not repent. And here's what it says here in Lamentation. It says, they transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned, because they didn't confess yet. So He couldn't pardon them. You have Now this is what the Lord has done. You have covered yourself with anger and have pursued us and have slain. You have not spared. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer might not pass through. You see? So because there was transgression that had not been forgiven, because they had not repented, the Lord covered Himself with a cloud that their prayer could not pass through. So when we have a problem with the Lord, our prayers are hindered. So this is why it's so crucial, saints, to take care of our conscience before the Lord. We need to be in the light that the Lord can have a free way and the Lord can answer our prayers. The Lord wants to answer our prayer to save all men. He really wants to. It's His desire, right? He desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But He can't do it unless we pray. You know, just one other point too. I appreciated last night as the brothers were sharing before I hit my section that we need to be with companions. And as the brother was sharing last night, the Lord was just touching me on these verses. You know, back in Genesis chapter 1. I don't know if you ever, this just hit me so fresh last night. I mean, yesterday morning. This was when the Lord first made us, right? At the very beginning, it unveiled something in his heart. It says, and God blessed them. He didn't say God blessed him. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Isn't that amazing? The Lord's desire is that a corporate man would fill the earth with fruit and would subdue the earth. That is, to defeat his enemy Satan and gain this earth for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, it's marvelous. So wonderful to know we need companions, and we need to pray that the Lord could bind the strong man. Gospel preaching, you know, I don't want to scare you, but because you have authority, okay? You have the Lord's authority, so don't be scared. Gospel preaching is a warfare. It's a war. But you got to realize the Lord won the victory already.
Amen.
The white horse has a bow. That means the arrow has been shot into the enemy's heart.
Amen.
So don't be afraid, but you need to realize it's a warfare. You know, just before I came here, you know, I had to unlock my cell phone because I need to get a SIM card to work in the U.S. because if I use a Canadian phone here, they charge me a lot of money. And so I went to get my phone unlocked and so I can get a SIM card. And the guy at the store, I asked him what's his name. I think he told me his name was David. Is it David or Daniel? I can't remember. I got to go back and visit him. And so I said, oh, hey, you know that's a name in the Bible? And he said, oh, yeah, really? And I began to share with him. And as I was speaking with him, I realized he is wide open. And so as I'm sharing, I get to the point I realize this guy can pray to receive the Lord. I asked him, I said, what about if right now all your sins can be forgiven, that you ever did wrong can be wiped away, and you can receive the life of God? Would that be good news to you? He goes, oh, yeah, that would be good news. And then as I was about, I said, okay, how about let's say a prayer. Right then, two customers walked in. Where did they come from? The whole time they weren't there. I tell you, the devil sent them. Right? So I need to pray, Lord, bind the strong man. I need to go back and visit him, right? But anyway, the gospel is a warfare. Many times you may experience something like that. Just at the right time, just before, something will try to come in. So if you don't pray to bind the strong man, he will have a way to hinder your gospel. So you really have to exercise to pray, okay? Praise the Lord. And, you know, I just want to share one more thing before I hit my points. You know, this week, I think you will learn a lot of things that you can take back with you in preaching the gospel on your gospel campus. You know, sorry, on your campus. It is a gospel campus. It's made for the gospel.
Amen.
It's not a campus just to get education. It's for the Lord's gospel.
Amen.
So back on your gospel campus, you'll learn lots of things. But, you know, I just want to share one little experience I had recently. Just a few weeks ago, we went to Austin. And I had a really strange experience. Maybe it's because my head's thick. But anyway, I got there, and the brother who picked me up at the airport, we went into the elevator. And his car was on the second level. And so we got in on the first level. And he hit number two, and the door closed and opened, and it was still on level one. I looked at him, he looked at me, he hit it again. The door closed and opened, and it was still on level one. So by this time, we're thinking the elevator is not working. He hit 2 and 3. The elevator closed and opened, and it was still on level 1. And we said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, get this elevator moving." The elevator closed, went up to the 2nd floor, and opened. I mean, how does that happen? The elevator doesn't work. And so we looked at each other and we said, "Oh, the Lord really wanted us to cooperate with him. He was just waiting." Okay, but anyway, the point is this. As the week went on in the reunion, the Lord used that to impress me somewhat. You can have everything in place, and you can do the right thing, but without prayer, the Lord doesn't move. We had the elevator. I mean, that was a good elevator. It should work. And we did the right thing. We hit number 2. We even did more than the right thing. We hit 2 and 3. And it still didn't move until we prayed. Anyway, the Lord used that to impress me. On the campus, you may learn some things. You may go back. You may have a team. You may have the homes. You may have a lot of the right things. And even do the right thing. But if you don't pray, the Lord will not have a way to move. Okay? So I hope I can impress you with this point. If I can impress you with this point, I'm happy. We need to be those who pray. When we pray, the Lord will have a way. And we need to pray with companions. Okay, my time is almost up already, so I'll read through my points real quick. But I just got to give you this testimony. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, about 3 weeks ago, actually 4 weeks ago, some of us rented this van to go to Spokane for the Brothers Fellowship. And then we came back, and I had to take the van back to the airport. And my wife came with me to the airport to take the van back. And so we're coming back home. It was 11:30 at night, kind of like your experience, 11:30 at night. And I realized, oh, Lord, I didn't preach the gospel today. So I told my wife, I said, "Hun, I didn't preach the gospel today. We got to stop somewhere so I can preach the gospel." And she said, "Rick, look, it's 11:30 at night. If you got to preach the gospel every day, can you do it earlier?" I mean, I don't feel good about you preaching the gospel 11:30 at night. They'll think you're strange. I mean, it's weird, 11:30 at night, you just walk up to somebody and start preaching the gospel. Anyway, so I said, "Yeah, I know, but anyway, I got to do it." So I said, "There's Starbucks." It was closed. I saw some people outside, and so we just pulled up. I thought, "Okay, I'll just go give them some tracks, all right?" So I get out of the car, and my wife stayed in the car. She was praying. Praise the Lord for my gospel companion. She was in the car praying. She was the Moses on the mountain. I was the Joshua in the valley. So she was praying. And I went out with my tracks, and I gave them. I said, "I have something for you here." And it was these two girls. They looked like about freshman, sophomore age. And so I said, "I got something for you." And I gave it to them. And the one says, "What's this?" I said, "Oh, it's about the 3rd part. She goes, "What's the 3rd part? I intended to just give them the tract and walk away. Now I have to answer, "What's the 3rd part? So I have to preach the gospel to them. So I ended up preaching the gospel to them. Maybe 10 minutes. I didn't stay that long. And then I asked them, I said, "So what about if everything you ever did wrong could be forgiven right now? And you can receive the life of God?" You know, I use this thing. You know, sometimes, I know Brother Lamstein didn't like phones so much, but I use my phone to show her that I can click on the internet because it has a wireless receiver. And we have a 3rd part, our spirit, that if you get it alive, connected, you can get to the heavenly internet. I said, "How would you like to get on the heavenly internet?" She says, "Oh, that's good." So I said, "Let's pray." And then both of them prayed. They both received the Lord in a very sweet way. And then I felt kind of strange, so I thought, you know, because I'm thinking, next thing you're supposed to do is ask him for contact information, right? It's 11:30 at night. These are two girls. Is this? So I had no peace to do it. So I said, you might think it's kind of weird how this guy comes to the 11 o'clock at night to talk about the Lord, right? And the one girl, she says, that sounds like a good story. So I told her why, you know, because I was inspired by this guy called D.L. Moody, who used to preach the gospel every day. And so I tried to preach the gospel every day. And then she goes, well, today you got two. Hallelujah! Oh, praise the Lord. Saints, anyway, my point is we need to pray. Amen. My wife was praying. Amen. And we need to be people of prayer. Amen. If we have a praying spirit and an atmosphere of prayer, when we preach the gospel, there will be authority. Amen. You know, there's nothing in the gospel that's offensive. It's wonderful. The reason that they don't get saved is because the strong man's holding them. So we need to pray that the Lord can deliver them. Okay, let's quickly read through Roman numeral 2. We'll just read through these points real quick. Roman numeral 3. Let's all together read Roman numeral 3. We must learn to pray continually.
And pray with
living faith.
Lasting results in our gospel preaching.
Okay, sisters, point A. Amen. Brothers, B.
We must learn to have prayers of faith, believing in God's word and his promises, even to command the Lord to move his hand for the sake of the gospel.
Okay. Okay, I just want to read you this one verse. This is Isaiah 45:11. It says, Jehovah says, thus says Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command me. The Lord wants us to command him concerning his sons. So we need to pray prayers with faith. We need to not trust our feelings. You know, if you have a problem with your conscience, there's no faith. You have to take care of your conscience so there's faith. And then you need to exercise your faith to pray prayers of faith, believing the word of God, not caring for your feelings, don't care how you feel, believe the word of God.
Amen.
Your feelings are not real. Only the word of God is real. And so we need to take the Lord's promises. He says, command me concerning my sons. We need to pray in a commanding way that the Lord would save our friends, right? And we need to pray prayers of faith, and we need to pray in a consistent way. Okay, in a consistent way. Okay, let's go on to our point 5. We'll wrap it up. Let's read all together. Sorry, 4. We need companions to pray. Okay, brothers, A.
We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for prayer with our 2 or 3 companions.
Okay, you need to budget your time. You need to set a time to pray with your companions every week. Do it consistently. You know, again, sorry, I just got to use my phone again. I know Brother Lampstand doesn't like phones, and he's right. There's a lot of things about this thing is bad. But we need to recover some aspects.
Amen.
We need to recover some aspects. You know, this thing has a thing I call a notepad. And I can put a list of people in here. And I got a list of people in here. And so sometimes when I'm walking, I just grab it out. And I pull out my list. And I got some people. And I can pray. Oh, Lord, Brother Brian, amen, supply him. Lord Jesus, right? Oh, Lord, oh, yeah, Lord, that brother. Oh, that new one I met. Lord, save. Save that guy, right? Lord, save him. Right? Save Zeke, Lord. You know, you can put your names in here and pray for him. It's very convenient. You can do it on the bus. You can do it at the bus stop. You can use a lot of time to pray. The Lord will have a way. If you put the names on a list and pray consistently, the Lord will answer. Okay, my time is up. So let's just read 1 and 2 and we're done.
Just have them pray for one man with a neighbor for the gospel and we'll transfer them.
Pray over that name list, asking the Lord to place at least 2 or 3 persons in our hearts. We should write down the names in our record book and continually bring them to the Lord through prayer. A record book will help us know whether or not our prayers are answered, and will help us to be specific and persistent in our prayers. We must be watchful to fight for a time to pray, and to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers.
So we need to fight for our prayer. Watch, because Satan will try to consume our time. We need to fight to have our time for prayer. Okay, let's have some prayer 2 by 2 right now. Pray for the gospel. Pray, because some of us are going out this afternoon. Pray for the gospel.